Tab, Blokes Day Out. Eagle Farm Racecourse next weekend. Tickets from $10 at brc.com.au.
Hey there. Welcome to the catch up. Hi. Very nice to have you along. Hello to you. I was actually saying hello to the listeners. I said hello to you at 5:30 this morning. I said hello to you a few times. But that's okay. It's just pleasant.
Sorry.
Make sure you subscribe. You'll get it easier. The PM, Rich Uncle Mally called, or former PM. I keep getting mistaken. Oh my God, because he got knifed.
In his mind, he is still PM.
Yeah, he is. And he's still opening things in an attempt to stay relevant. Which you, he'll tell
you,
us about.
Do they let him, like he was saying, he opens ribbons, he cuts ribbons. Yeah. Is there a special pair of scissors? Do you know anyone who opens things? No.
They're always a very large pair of scissors.
Yeah, and they usually have bows on them.
They look like they could cut those novelty checks up. Yeah. That big.
Nick, you and I may as well be called Lennon McCartney. We've really been working laboriously over the new song for the NRL.
And after hearing my voice, I think a stranger will shoot me. So,
They really pumped me up in the mix. I wonder why.
Yeah. If you can hear me, good luck. That's actually a hearing test. If you can hear my voice in that mix.
Is it that bad?
Well, Brendo's got the voice of an angel, and I've got the voice of someone that isn't a professional singer.
I heard Brendo one night. Yeah. I don't want to talk about Elton John too much, but I heard him sing Tiny Dan.
Was it Tiny? No,
it was Daniel.
Yeah.
Sorry, Elton John, I get those songs confused. Okay. I heard him sing Daniel in front of 300 drunk people at a Chinese karaoke one night.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Chinese restaurant.
Brenda, I don't think you get enough raps for that. Just give us a little bit now, mate.
Daniel is travelling tonight on a plane.
It's like honey on your
toast.
Do
you want to know what my karaoke song is?
Yeah, you can do Daniel.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back.
Baby Got Back.
No. I don't think that's it. I don't think you've ever...
No, that is... No,
baby,
that is
baby Got Back.
Yeah. No, that's not Baby it. Got Back.
Yeah.
You're thinking of Baby Come Back.
That's
you
it.
Can blame it all on me. Very different songs.
Very
different.
Is there anyone doing a karaoke podcast yet?
No.
Let's turn this into it.
Good one. What would you sing? What's your one?
Oh, I got to have four beers first.
Yeah.
And then what do you
think? I haven't had it yet. And then I think of the song.
I'm also an aqua Barbie girl.
Yes.
I'm a Barbie girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a female mate with me.
Yep. None of what you have
who can sing like Ken, so I can...
Which part do you sing?
I'm Ken.
What does he do?
Come on, Barbie, let's go party. That's pretty much all you have to do.
Oh, that's skillful. That's me.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
State governments acknowledge something that we've been speaking about for a number of months now, this silicosis, the terrible disease of the lungs caused by engineered stone. You want a Caesar stone benchtop? Well, these people who are cutting it have getting this terrible disease. I think it's 98 Queenslanders have now been diagnosed with silicosis, and there's only one end to it. And we've already had the first death.
Yes, we have. Now, remember last week we were talking to Dr. Graham Edwards, and he said the other problem with this is it could be at epidemic proportions because they got infected so long ago.
The exposure occurred 3, 5, 10 years ago. The people have already been exposed. We don't know to what extent.
All right. Well, on the back of that, Anthony White, who was diagnosed with a deadly lung disease in 2017, died early Saturday morning, and we now have his brother on the line.
Hey, Shane.
How you going, guys?
Sorry, mate. Sorry to hear of this. It's a terrible, terrible disease.
Yeah, appreciate it, mate. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's not good.
And your brother's death was quite unexpected, though, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we thought it'd be dragged out a bit further than this and he'd get to his lung transplant. And, you know, he was on the up and then, suddenly just disappeared on us.
So he was on the lung transplant list and they just couldn't get one before he passed away?
He had to put on weight to get to the right health at the stage. He ended up getting a lung infection early stages of when he first got diagnosed, which put him into ICU for a week. And since then, it was a fight for him to get back to his health. And, you know, he only just got there recently, which is the shit part of it all.
Do you reckon the government should be doing anything, Shane, to let these tradies know? Like, should there be certain things in place where you need a certain amount of equipment to be on a site where you're working with these materials?
Yeah, definitely. I just don't understand. What about the other people that are on the site as well? You know, it's not just the stonemasons that are working with it. What about the people that are just down from that are copping the downwind off it?
Good call. Now Shane, I believe you've been diagnosed with silicosis as well, correct?
Yeah, just recently.
Were you and Anthony working together, your brother, or what industry were you in?
No, me and my brother always worked together. Wherever I was, my brother wasn't far behind. So
I
left the company. He was, you know, he was right on my tail. Something.
Shane, we've spoken to doctors, we've heard people talk about it, but you're living it. So how does that manifest for you every day?
Well, I'm at an early stage of it. So from what I know, I thought it about 10 years ago, and I sort of went into a bit of a management foreman role, which got me out of manufacturing a bit and installations. And then the boys that haven't been, they're the ones that tend to be more aggressive in the state. The only thing I've noticed is you go a bit more fatigued, and, you know, I just don't recover as quick. My stamina's not there.
Is your breathing impacted? Like, do you struggle to take a deep breath?
It's restricted, but, I wouldn't say I'm struggling. I don't feel like I'm struggling until I actually exert a lot of energy. And riding a dirt bike these days is, is a bit of a harder thing. Obviously when you get a bit of a fright as well, your heart rate goes, you're breathing in and out, and, you just feel like you just don't really have the recovery time that you used to.
Shane, what sort of mask did you guys wear on site?
Depending on where I was and at the time, at the start of it was only a paper mask when I first got into trade. I was working on a high-rise in Brisbane at one stage where, the product had just been marketed in really, really good to the high-rise there, the builders. And
stone benches look great, don't they?
Yeah, they love them, don't they? Marble and granite still looks great, so let's go with that.
So, Shane, are you on the lung transplant list as well?
I'm not at that stage at all. My one's been under review at the moment, so I'll be going back in 6 months to have more scans to see if anything's progressed. But from what I know of, it's a dormant. It hasn't progressed over the last 10 years. So
I may as well ask your personal opinion, because you're deeply involved. If there's 98 people diagnosed now, that figure is going to spiral out of control, correct?
98 is the only reason why it's only 98 is because that's all the doctors have been able to take in at the moment. That's what I believe. They're inundated. There's so many cases. There's so many people that are going to come out of the woodwork now to get checked.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Well, good luck, Shane. I mean, what an awful, awful time for you and your family. But thank you very much for talking to us, because by doing that, other people will now go and see their doctors, and they'll also helpfully take precautions. So you're doing a great thing.
We could already see it at the start. At the end of it, my brother had a lot of people reach out to him and thank him for it, So, at least he got to see the whole point of what he was doing, was starting the show.
Shane, if you could still reach out to anyone going to work right now, is it wear respirators, use more wet?
I believe it's, from what I know, that's what, from what I can see, is that's what's happening already. Look into the proper respirators, though. Your positive feed respirators, they're not cheap. That's why most people won't look into them.
That's right.
They're about $1,000 a pop, but, at the stage of life, it's worth it.
Absolutely.
Oh, mate, all the best to you and your family.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you.
He was once our Prime Minister, and now he's just a very revered rich man from the eastern suburbs of Sydney. Rich Uncle Mal, good morning.
Good morning to you, Marto, and hello to everybody on Brisbane Radio this morning on listening to Triple M. To you, Robin Bailey, of course, Nick Cody. Congratulations on Old Mate last night.
Oh, thank you very much, Mal.
You had a premiere in... at the Brisbane Comedy Festival, I believe.
Yes, it was a cracking night.
We were just talking how we used to work with Lawrence Mooney, and we were just talking how he's much more, Nick Cody's so much more disciplined.
I went to bed after the show. Apparently that was a big difference between me and the guy I replaced.
Right, okay. You replaced the Moon Man, who was not averse to doing an all-nighter.
A loose unit.
Having some quiet, intense conversations with the electrical equipment down at the Alex.
Anyway.
But, let's go back to the topic.
Some upside kettle and what have you, the toaster.
Yes, we've heard that.
Fridge.
So, Big Mal, you're cutting the ribbon on a new Pilates studio in Bondi. Why would you be doing that?
Well, because I enjoy Pilates. I love it. Plus, elite spinal physiotherapy down there in Bondi Junction. They're good friends of mine.
What?
I still have my scissors from when I used to cut ribbons as the Prime Minister. You get issued with scissors. And so I said, well, I'll come down and cut the ribbon. They said, we want to put a plaque up. And I said, well, you can put it up. Opened by the former Prime Minister. You don't often see that, do you?
No.
Opened by, no. I'll roll up there in, a chauffeur-driven vehicle. Basically, I'm delusional. I'm still pretending I'm the Prime Minister.
Yes. Yeah, I've got...
No, I enjoy getting down there on the reformer bed and really opening up my pelvis.
Oh, do you?
I've got to ask, Rich Uncle Mal, are you still rich? It sounds like if you're cutting ribbons on bloody Pilates studios, was it a chauffeured vehicle or was it UberX? Are you all right for money at the minute?
I'm doing okay. Thank you very much for your concern, Nick Cody. I mean, I'm not getting up at 3:30 in the morning to earn a quid, buddy. I'm still doing all right. I've got a personal fortune in excess of $200 million. I live in an Italianate palazzo. I've got investments. I'm spending a couple of million dollars bringing down the Liberal Party. So, no, I'm not hard up for a quid. So you don't have to pass a hat around for me.
Right.
I'm not sitting outside, you know, 7-Eleven on a piece of cardboard with a poorly spelt sign.
All right. Well, we figure that you're not invoicing them then. But are you a genuine fan of Pilates?
Well, I do like it. I really do enjoy working my core. And Lucy and I go down and do doubles Pilates. And, you know, Pilates looks kind of... You can do doubles Pilates, working out, and it's not a sexual thing, please.
Okay.
I don't want any of your grubbiness, Marto.
No, I just thought Christopher like. Pine and you might go down there. And
I'm sorry, what was that?
Nothing.
Good on you. No, we like to go down and work out and build up a bit of sweat, and people think the reform bed's quite benign. That is until it tries to kill you, which it can too.
Oh, okay. Well, the NRL season starts tonight. What's your feelings?
Go Broncos. No, only kidding. listen, Robin, since I've lost the Prime Ministership, I don't have to pretend to be interested in sport anymore. Mm. And I'm sure the NRL are very happy the season started because they've had quite the off-season, haven't they?
Yes, sir.
Really and truly. And that's not going to stop either. I believe there's more videos and photos out there. But tonight it starts with the Storm and the Broncos and then the Chookies play. That's my team. The Roosters, go Chookies. Do a try. And I don't think they should be called the Chookies, though, should they?
Why?
You know, it's not the right word for it because they are Roosters, but you don't want to use the alternative.
No, you don't. No, you really don't.
Rich Uncle Mal, good on you.
Deep fried chicken.
You're rocking anywhere today? Can you remember
I am,
any
Brenda,
suburbs?
And I'm glad you asked. I do love a bit of deep fried chicken. Occasionally in a well-balanced diet. Tonight, or today rather, Triple M are rocking the Grange.
Is
that a place?
That's quite a nice suburb.
That's a lovely suburb.
I've never been there, and I never will. Good on you, man.
Big Breakfast, bye. Triple M.
The Big Breakfast. The Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30
on Triple M.
NRL countdown clock says 12 hours until the Broncos take on the Storm, the start of the season. Can I just tell you something? 30 years ago.
You do have the countdown. It's kind of cute.
I know.
Sorry,
well,
keep going.
I'm kind of keen about it.
I know.
30 years ago, Tina Turner got involved with rugby league.
Oh.
And it wasn't simply the best. You know how Tina Turner is forever linked with rugby league. It was this song was Tina Turner's first involvement with NRL. If you're a league fan, YouTube that, Tina Turner, and you'll see the greatest rugby league ad ever made, I believe.
We were just going through it before and we were naming all the players. Like, there's Alfie, there's Sterlo.
But it's when they've all got hair and they've got muscles and stuff. It is the best. So that was 30 years ago. Rugby league was dead broke, 30 years ago. And John Quayle, who used to run it, he was like the CEO in those days, if anyone remembers him. He said, righto, we've got to jazz things up. It was still called the Winfield Cup. They were still playing for a Durry company.
Yeah.
And he went, righto, I've got an idea. Because his secretary, now I better make sure I get this right, his secretary was Mickey Braithwaite. Now you go, who's Mickey Braithwaite?
Who's Mickey Braithwaite?
Married to Darryl Braithwaite.
Oh, as in
from
horses.
Sherbet and horses and everything else.
Wow.
Okay. That was his secretary. So now Darryl Braithwaite had the same manager as Tina Turner.
Oh,
so John Quayle said, I want that song. Can we get Tina Turner? And somehow he has negotiated between his secretary's husband's manager. They got Tina Turner for free. So she should have cost a couple of million dollars.
How did they? What, as a favour?
As a favour. But they said, righto, you want her, and they've got all the players doing their pre-season training. And they said, okay, well, where are we going to get her? They managed to nail her down. She had one day in London. So John Quayle went over to London and he went, righto, Andrew Eddinghausen, who was one of the greatest looking players in the game. So they did all the shooting, obviously, back here in Australia with all the players. They had one player playing over in England. And John Quayle said, well, he's the best looking player in the game. The chicks will dig it. Everyone will love it. And he can hang around with Tina while she sings the song over in London one day. So he went over, he took VHS tapes, he said, this is what the game looks like. And she said, oh, what should I wear? And, you know, go, you know, do all the jeans and high pulled up jeans and blah, blah, blah. The day came, the Tuesday in London came that was supposed to be shot, ET's football game on the weekend had been snowed out and they had to replay it on the Tuesday.
Playing?
He was playing up in Leeds or somewhere up the north of England. Snowed in, couldn't get there. So they've got Gavin Miller and Cliffy Lyons. If anyone knows them, they'll have a laugh. Cliffy. Now, there was a man who stood for Winfield. He had taken out a hurry today. Cliffy Lyons, if you know. So Ad went ahead. An all-time great hit. It was a magnificent song. It was all fabulous.
Well, that's a remarkable bit of history, mate. But as you know, the NRL have had a bit of a tumultuous off-season. We spoke to Todd Greenberg, the CEO, last week. And after the chat, we were talking to him on the phone for a bit longer. And he said, guys, we need you to put a song together to get the fans back into the great game, you know, because in the off season there was the sex tapes being leaked.
Yeah.
The entire Cronulla Sharks team got banned from a sailing club.
Remember
the whole team.
Remember that.
There's everything. So here at Triple M, we've put together a song that is going to fire everyone up for this year's NRL season.
Some boys go to school and learn some manners. Some boys just wanna run headfirst into things. Try to change the habit of a leaky. Don't even try. Cause when you get them out on the turfs, then you realize. What you get is what you see. Another sex tape leaking. Players drinking their own wee. Cronulla Sharks are cheating. The Titans won't stop boring me. And everyone hates Manly. Oh. What you get is what you see. A Penrith Panthers palm ring. Cronulla's banned from sailing. They are repeat offenders. Oh, Greg Inglis is a big fatty. Oh, yeah. Watch it come round one.
That's a hit.
That's a hit.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Well, the headlines read, callous and arrogant Cardinal George Pell. Is he still a Cardinal? Who knows? Gone to jail for 6 years. It highlights, once again, the problem of child sex abuse. And there's only the greatest campaigner in Australia is a friend of ours, and I'll introduce her straight away. Hetty Johnson, good morning.
Good morning. How is everybody?
Sorry, I should say the boss of Bravehearts. what does yesterday mean to you as you watch that repellent reptile go to jail?
Well, we're always worried that, you know, law would defeat justice there, as it often does. So it was a good day. I mean, and I think the judge need to be congratulated. He did the best he could do, given the legal system that we've got and the rules and laws and precedents and all those things. I think it was the best we could expect.
Hetty, tell me, what do you say to Catholics who are now struggling with their own religion and the way they feel about it when they look at Cardinal Pell, who was the, like, third highest in the Catholic Church?
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? But I would say to all people of faith everywhere, this isn't to do with faith. This isn't even to do with the church as a whole. This is to do with George Pell. And I know there are a lot of others like George Pell in the Catholic Church, but you have to separate the two. This is the human being as opposed to the faith, and it shouldn't hopefully affect the faith, but it does affect the way, you know, any organisation or institution that sort of condones this or allows this to happen. Look, George Pell was head of this thing for 20 years, unless he's a, you know, an absolute moron, which he's not. I mean, the judge said he's clever, he knows what's going on. He's known what's gone on for 20 years. He's been leading it. He deserves to be exactly where he is.
Hetty, can we use this as a warning to everyone else? I had a chat to your husband, Ian, and he outlined to me what happens in the world. And I was naive to think, oh, there's only a couple of them. These people, these pedophiles are everywhere.
And it's frightening. And this is why, you know, this is why we all have to be so careful. We have to educate our children. We have to educate ourselves. We can avoid this. We stand a much better chance if we don't live with our head in a bucket of sand. Pull it out. Have a little listen. Have a listen to what's going on. I think this is where you guys come in. You know what? The media has just been but the best thing ever. There's a level of increased awareness right throughout society. It's a etching at this culture of silence and secrecy. And these survivors that come forward and tell their stories, we owe them so much. I don't know if anyone can really grasp how hard it is for a survivor to come forward and tell their story. To be able to remember that and to verbalise it means you have to think about it at a very deep level and re-traumatise yourself all over again.
So, Hedy, do you think this will give people more courage now to come out and speak out? And because, you know, he's gone to jail now and people are so frightened that their stories won't be believed and nothing will happen.
Well, that's right, Robin. And most 70 to 90% never tell anybody, you know, never tell the authorities. So they might tell, they're more likely to tell a sibling or a parent or a friend. Most don't tell authorities because they have no confidence in this system. They're fearful that they won't be believed or that they'll be blamed and then they'll be scorned upon by society, which, you know, this has happened here. Look, I hope it does, because it's only the testimony of survivors that can protect our children. We know children don't generally disclose this, and when they do, more often than not, they're not believed.
Yep.
The system is not, it's not there for our kids, guys. This system does not work for our children at all. It works for adults. And so our family law system, which is the most dangerous and deadly institution this country has ever seen before or up until now, is in desperate need of a Royal Commission.
Yep.
This was a good start. This is a good thing to happen for child protection everywhere.
Okay. Bravehearts is Australia's leading child protection agency. Hedy Johnson is the founder. You can always donate as well, bravehearts.org.au. They would appreciate your help there. Hedy Johnson, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Best headlines of the overnight news. Plane turns around mid-flight after woman forgets baby.
Insane.
Read on, Marto. Righto. She was on a flight from Jeddah, which is in Saudi Arabia,
yep.
Okay, down to Malaysia, when she remembered that the baby was still sitting in the boarding area.
Oh.
The pilots ultimately decided... Well, listen to the pilots. According to the paper, the pilot can be heard saying, "May God be with us. Can we come back or what?" to the air traffic controller, because it's full of, you know more about planes than me, they're full of fuel, so you'd have to do a dump and wait for a while and then land.
And I thought he'd say, "May God be with us," because this baby isn't. It's still at the bloody, it's still
on,
at the gate.
Hang on, there's so many things about this story I don't understand.
Well, you can
so
keep
she's
going.
Sitting, she's sitting in the boarding area.
Here we go. This flight, this is the operator. This is the air traffic operator. "This flight is requesting to come back. A passenger forgot her baby in the waiting area. The poor thing. A passenger," here's another one. The pilot then translates into English. "A passenger left her baby in the terminal and refuses to continue the flight," because she's obviously gone up to the hostie when the bing's gone off and gone, "Oh, no, I don't want to use the toilet. But listen, I left something back at the airport."
Do you reckon that's what happened? Or she just got through a full movie uninterrupted and gone, "That has not happened in some time. What is going on?" You know the worst part as well? It's Saudi Airlines. You can't drink on it. So she wasn't even maggot. Oh, I get that. If you've had a skinful and then you get on the plane, you're having a great time and you're like,
"Where's my
mobile?
I've
got darts in my pocket."
Probably preloaded.
Oh,
and
you
then
reckon?
Forgot.
Oh, no.
You can't preload in Saudi Arabia. Do I need to tell you that?
Okay. How old was the baby?
It doesn't say, but so obviously a small, you'd reckon a little crib bound baby, wouldn't it be? Like something like your Charlie or something.
Because
it wouldn't be wandering around.
Oh, God. The stress of that is unbelievable.
Or has she, the other thing I can think is, has she got 4 or 5 kids and she's just misplaced one?
Home Alone style.
Yeah, too many. Oh, we should have done the head count. Oh, no. Oh,
you know the thing that makes her the worst passenger of all time, though? You imagine you're sitting on that plane, you've got to turn back to the airport you've taken off from, right?
Yeah.
To pick up a baby.
Man.
Oh, so they've turned the flight around to get a screaming baby on.
Yeah, great.
Yes.
Well, that's so annoying.
All right, I want to ask you, three children, ever?
Yeah. I have left
one somewhere.
Where?
Well, yeah.
Come on.
Out in Indooroopilly, we were shopping and I just forgot that I was responsible for one of them.
How many
and
did I you left, have three at that start?
Yeah, I did. It was the youngest and I the other two had gone off with their dad and I'd just forgotten that I was responsible. So I left Kmart.
You felt freedom.
Well, I just forgot.
It's like it's like one of the animals at the zoo. Has he left the gate open?
But you know, it took
I'm out of here.
It took me a while. Like it would have been probably, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes when I'd finally went, "Oh my Lord."
Oh, no.
Went back
what
and there
vessel
he was.
Was it in? It was a
No, he was a toddler.
Oh,
and there he was sitting in the toy department, happy as.
Oh, good place.
But wasn't bothered
building
at
toys
all.
For him.
Yeah. That's a good place to abandon him. The cops won't get onto that for ages. So you didn't pull it off, the abandonment?
Well, no, I mean, I did. I managed to retrieve the child without anyone knowing, and he was happy, so he didn't dob on me.
Is this the worst thing a mother can do?
Oh, absolutely. Even you just talking about it then was like, oh.
So if I ask, where have you left your kid?
That feeling of just going, oh.
Yep.
And then,
did you think about him or think about how many months you're going to get in jail for leaving your child? Like that woman in Saudi Arabia, that's how we started. She left her child at the airport and hopped on the plane.
They have to turn around.
How does that happen?
Well, let's find out. Elizabeth of Toowong, when have you left your kid?
I left him at kindy.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, I know.
Bit of extracurricular learning.
They were about to close, so they rang me. Where are you? Oh, stuck in traffic, but I wasn't. I was at the hairdresser's.
Glass of wine in your right hand.
Yeah. So, thankfully, I was friendly with another mum who was waiting around until I did turn up, and she actually got on the phone and said, I'll take him to school and meet you there. So, because it would have been very obvious I wasn't.
Back up.
Yeah. Can't rock up with foils in your hair going, I was stuck in traffic.
That's right. Mandy of Jimboomba. Oh, dear. Where have you left your kid?
I left my child in Spendless shoes.
Oh, well,
now, in my defence, my boys are 11 months apart.
Yeah.
We were straight out of hospital, so he was about 4 days old.
Yes.
So I wasn't used to having another baby. Nah. And my mother and I went shopping. We looked at shoes. And then off we toddled, and about 10 minutes later, I've got this terrible feeling. I've forgotten something. So I'm rummaging through my bag, and my mum's going, what's wrong with you? I said, I've forgotten something. Keys, phone,
mobile. Yeah,
and
I'm about...
We looked at each other and going, oh, my God, we've forgotten the baby. So look raced back, and they're all just happily talking to him, and he's just looking at them.
You're like, hold on a second. I'm about 4 kilos lighter for some reason, and I don't know what it is. Oh, it's that baby. That baby
didn't
I
didn't remember the pain from 4 days earlier. Oh, it went...
No. But, yeah, he's 24, and he still reminds me. Remember when you left me in that shop, Mum?
I'm just impressed you were out and about after 4 days. Yeah. That's very good.
Yeah, I just wanted out.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Smoko shout.
I think you asked me the other day, Nick, what is that? Why do you do this? I realised that if I didn't, I wasn't getting out into the suburbs enough, and you stay in your own little community, you know, with work and stuff. And Brisbane is expanding so quickly, I went, I got to get out there.
Where'd you go?
I was at Dowra yesterday. Now, Dowra, God, used to be just suburban, a little suburban village. A lot of Vietnamese moved to Dowra years ago, and there's some of the restaurants out there are outstanding. But now it's all the spare land. It's all these enormous warehouses, you know, the tilt-up slab building.
Are the warehouses the other side where the jail is? You know where the...
Both sides. You mean of the Ipswich motorway?
Yeah.
Both sides. This one was on the city side of what I'd say the Ipswich motorway, not on the other side. So, no, that's... You're thinking Wacol. Even come back further towards...
The jail. The jail's a warehouse, a naughty boy warehouse.
That is true.
All right, so I'm out there. And this mob, I said, how long you been here? They're in one of these new slabs. Oh, a couple of years. We used to be... at Rocklea, but the 2011 flood sort
took care of that.
Yeah. So the name of this company is Cascade. And you know what they do? They've got 70... Oh, well, I'll let the girl tell you what they do.
So Cascade manufactures forklift attachments in the Australian region. And we cover off on all different industries. So mining, 3PL, all the way through to supplying mechanical attachments for mum and
dad. That's what I'm getting to see. All these businesses, they make everything that you need to put on the front of a forklift. We're not talking about little ones. We're talking about ones that are in mines that are as big as this building.
Did you get to drive one?
Well, I had a bit of a look and it's fascinating.
So. Yeah, and Jack, one of our producers, he likes a good forklift.
The day I found him in the army tank, come on, mate, we've got to get going. Jack tries everything when we go and do it. Anyway, the reason I was there was now we got people, go to triplem.com.au, you go to the win page, and this young bloke called Keegan. He's second year apprentice. So he's the same age as you and my young blokes, our eldest sons. And he's written to us on the email and gone, hey, these guys gave me a job. I'd like to thank them by shouting them all Smoko. So 73 of them out there, 70 girls and guys in the office and also in the... You imagine how hot that was on Monday and Tuesday, welding.
Stinky.
Mainly metal fabrication. And first up, before I met Keegan, I met his mentor, this bloke about my age or so, had taken an... I've had a few apprentices in my building life, and it can be tough.
Right, so Keegan arrived. Do you remember what it was like when you were an apprentice? Everyone bullied you and everything else? Those days are gone.
Those days are gone, yeah.
Oh,
no, he's been babied.
They don't know how good they got
it. That's it.
But what do? You get an apprentice, you go, oh, God, not another kid doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
All right, tell us from that day, because he's obviously a bloody fine young man.
No, he's all right. He hit the floor running, actually. He's one of the smarter ones.
But he said he didn't know how to weld when he arrived.
Doesn't take him long to learn, eh?
Right,
picks up pretty quick.
Oh.
So, he's a fast learner.
You know how you work. Well, that was Paul. His,
well, look,
you know,
look what happens when you don't bully your apprentice. They bloody sort out Smoko for you.
That is so true. He is so grateful. Here he is, young Keegan, and what a good young man. Didn't know what he was doing when he arrived there.
Teaching me all the tips and tricks of being a boilermaker.
What are you now? You're into second year.
Yeah.
You've got that $2 an hour pay increase.
Pretty much.
It's a good day when that ticks over, isn't it? They made you feel welcome when you first started?
Yes, they did. And ever since then, they've pretty much just been teaching me all the tips and tricks on how to get things done.
What sort of welding are you doing? What are you doing? Did you know how to weld when you got here?
Not at all.
Never welded?
I did a Cert 2 at school, and that's pretty much what got me here. So
I love watching young blokes get into the life.
And what a nice thing to do.
How much are you meant to know before you turn up as an apprentice?
Well, some of them actually know what they're doing. And
yeah,
maybe that's wrong because you've gone down the path that's not technically correct. Yeah. So you're a greenhorn.
Well, he said he did a cert too, but he didn't say what in. Yeah. Could have been business management.
That's true.
What's this helmet?
Can I just say hello to Mitch? Peter was out there. Craig, Jason was there. Who else did I have there? Dwayne, Aaron was there. Vaughn was there. Paul, Jace. I said I'd say goodbye to all these people.
You did.
Mike. And in the end, everyone was so grateful. They didn't thank me, but they thanked young Keegan.
On three. One, two, three.
What a beautiful workplace. All about forklifts.
Marto could be at your workplace next week. TripleM.com.au to register for the Smoko Shout. All thanks to CNL Tools celebrating 50 years in tools. CNL Tools Banyo, because you want to buy tools, not talk to one.
Tab. Blokes Day Out. Eagle Farm Racecourse next weekend. Tickets from $10 at brc.com.au.
It's the end of the podcast, what do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.